Thank you, Michelle, for blessing us with that beautiful song. Amen. And thank you, Sam, for that beautiful mic. Amen. All right. Well, take your Bibles. We're going to turn to two areas tonight as we consider the Lord's table. Matthew chapter 26 is the first area I want you to turn to. And also 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And once you find those two areas and mark those, go ahead and stand with me. Matthew chapter 26. And then 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I appreciate everybody coming out for the communion service tonight. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Now let me see, just by a show of hands, how many have never had the communion service explained to you scripturally? Raise your hand if you've never had it explained scripturally. So everybody's had it explained scripturally. Okay, just want to make sure everybody's on the same sheet of music here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and then Matthew chapter 26. And what we're going to do is read the actual account of the Lord's instituting of the Lord's table here in Matthew chapter number 26. Then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and see how the church began to handle that time. Amen. Because we know that there was everything was done right the day that the Lord instituted the Lord's table there in Matthew. We know it was everything was correct. But then the New Testament local church got involved in 1 Corinthians, and there's some things that they began to do that weren't necessarily right. And we want to make sure that as we go down through the passage of Scripture, we understand what Jesus did, first of all, institute. And then make sure that we're doing it in the correct fashion. And that's why we look at another local church, see what they did. Everybody at Matthew chapter 26, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to start reading in verse number 19. And I'm going to read all the way from 19 down to 26. And I want you to join in with me at 26, okay? Here we go. Verse 19 says, "And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Of course, it was the Passover time. They had a Passover feast, and so they were making ready for that. Verse 20 says, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" It's a good question. What if the Lord were to come through here right now and say one of us would betray him? Would we be quick to say, Lord, is it I? Or would we be quick to point a finger at someone else? Amen. Good question. Verse 23, "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." In other words, yes. Pick up with me and read down to verse 30 from 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Of course, this is Matthew's account of the Last Supper with Jesus and his institution of the communion service. And he told them exactly what the body represented, or what the bread represented, and what the juice represented as well. And so it was instituted at this time. He tells them exactly what to do, and that he would not partake of this until they had come together again. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you once again for this sacred time that we as Baptists hold as one of our two ordinances, baptism being one and the Lord's table being the second ordinance that we hold true to. These are commands that you gave us as a local church that we ought to do on a regular basis as often as we do. And Lord, so we thank you for the baptisms that we've had over the past several weeks and months. We also thank you for this time of communion. we can come together and observe what you've done for us, Lord. And I pray that as we look at the passage of Scripture today, that you would just once again renew us and refresh us at the great price that was paid. Help us to reflect upon what's going on here on the pages of Scripture and what happened many, many years ago for the payment of our sins. Speak to our hearts now, Lord. Holy Spirit, arrest our attention for this sacred time, this special time, this time that comes very infrequently at our services. And Lord, I pray that we might count it very special and a privileged time to be here tonight. Bless every member that's here. Open their minds, open their hearts to what's going on. And I pray that it will be done to bring honor and glory unto thee. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we see the passage of Scripture that was given here in Matthew's Gospel. And as the Lord was eating, it was the traditional Passover feast that they had begun to eat there, and they made ready for the Passover. Now, what was the Passover all about? It was a time that Israel was being delivered from Egypt. And as Israel was being delivered from Egypt, they were to take the blood from a lamb and put it on the doorposts, and the firstborn would be spared from being killed when the death angel passed through. And so they called that time Passover. And they were supposed to observe that time every year. And every year they were to commemorate the time that the death angel passed over them, and they were spared, and also they had an exodus out of Egypt. And so that was a special time for them. That same feast is the feast that's being talked about here in Matthew's Gospel as they were beginning to have their feast in verse number 19. We're going to look over at a church in Corinth. And they were doing something similar to that. They had a feast as well. It wasn't a Passover feast because they were a Greek body, but they had a feast nonetheless. And with this feast, they had incorporated the Lord's table in that feast. That feast was not done orderly. And there were some divisions going on there, some things that weren't right. And so Paul wrote them a letter, and he wanted to set things in order. But that's pretty much the setting that we have right now. It was instituted by Christ. Then as the New Testament churches began to be started, they began to institute the Lord's table. But sometimes it just kind of went awry. My prayer for us tonight is that we would see what the Corinthian church did, not be a part of that, make sure that we're right with God when we come to this particular time of the service and of the year, because this is very crucial to our church's existence and also our health as a spiritual body. And so I pray you pay close attention to this morning or this evening. So go back to 1 Corinthians now that we see what the Lord actually did here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I want to pick it up in verse number 1. In the book of Corinthians, Paul is giving the local church here at Corinth a verbal warning concerning their handling of the Lord's table, starting in verse 17. But in verse number 1 and 2, he says this. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And now he begins to commend them or praise them in verse 2. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." And he begins to talk about some things that he talked to them about down there that they were doing. But then when you come down to verse 17, notice the change here. "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." He started off in verse number 2. He said, "I praise you for these things." But then in verse 17, he says, "Now I can't praise you for these things here." And I want us to draw some principles again as we check ourselves to make sure we understand what's at stake here at this particular sacred time. And notice, first of all, their portrayal of the Lord's Supper. Their portrayal of the Lord's Supper. Starting in verse number 17, Paul is about to tell them what he has observed them doing. Their portrayal of the Lord's Supper. And Paul's going to describe what was happening that should not be happening. First of all, notice his observations in verse 17. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." In other words, Paul said, you know what? You guys are not coming together for the more noble reasons, but it seems like you're coming for the lesser reason in what you're doing here. And I'm going to give you a message right now that what you're doing is not right. In other words, Paul said, let me tell you right now, I could praise you in verse number 2 about some things that you're doing, but on this particular thing, I cannot praise you for what you're doing because you're not doing right. And he begins to go into from his observations to their actions. Verse 18, He says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. In other words, Paul said there's a disunion going on in the body there. Everything's not equally. You guys don't have the same heart. The heart's disjointed and you have a disunion going on. He says, and I partly believe it. Then he says in verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. In other words, he's saying, you know, there's going to be those that are wrong to show that those that are right. In other words, amen. By the way, if you're going down the road at 75 miles an hour, somebody zips past you, you can surmise that they're probably going faster than the speed limit. Amen. So just by you doing the speed limit and them zipping past you shows you that they have broken the law. So you're approved, they're disapproved. Amen. And they are subject to be called out by the cops. Amen. So he says, you know, these divisions going on, this disunion going on, this heresy is going on. That happens so that some folks are going to be approved, but the others are going to be made manifest that they are false. They're not doing right. He says now in verse 19, 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He says, now, this feast that you're having, evidently they were having some type of a feast there, maybe to try to imitate the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper when they had the feast there, the Passover feast, I don't know. But they were having some kind of a feast here, some gathering. And Paul let them know, you know, your actions are not right. First of all, there's this union there. There's heresies there. There are people being proved wrong. Others are being proved right. But he says, you're coming together. You're coming in one place. He said, that's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Notice what he says in verse 21, because this is part of their actions. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So in other words, Paul was saying, you know what? You guys are getting together. You're having this meal and somebody's eating before the others. And obviously there were poor people here in the congregation and there were rich people in the congregation. And the rich folks had bought all their food and they had their spread and they were indulging. And the lesser fortunate people didn't have anything to eat. And they were shaming them because they didn't have anything to eat. And they called themselves partaking of the Lord's table or preparing for the Lord's table. In other words, you look at what Jesus did. Jesus was very selfless in what he did. He served. He washed their feet. And they're being very selfish in what they're doing. Paul said, you know what? That's not right. He said, part of this disunion, part of this division, part of this heresy is because you're not right. And you're treating this group like this, and this other group you're treating like this. He said, there's a schism in the body. It's not right. I hope we don't have that. I hope you're not a part of that. I hope that's not in your mind, in your heart, or in your thoughts. Amen. Why? That's not what Jesus died for. He said, look, put away that sin. Put away that disunion. Put away that that heresy. Put away that schism. Put away all of these divisions. Put it away. Why? I want to have one church, one body, and I'm going to be one Lord over it all. And so he says, what you're doing is not right. He said, I've observed your actions, and your actions aren't good, and this is what you're doing. Paul goes from his observations to their actions. Then he gives them instructions. He said, I can't praise you in this matter like I praise you in verse 2. When you read verse number 22 at the end. He says, shall I praise you in this? Is this behavior good? I praise you not. In other words, you have a child that's not doing right. You're not going to praise the child for doing wrong. He says, shall I praise you? No, Corinthians, I can't praise you in this. No, you've got heresy going on. No, you've got this division going on. You've got this partiality going on. You're shaming people that don't have. And you are saying that you're involving yourself in the Lord's table. He says, not right. So he goes from their portrayal of the supper to the picture of the supper that it's supposed to be. Notice down there in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. But the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Paul begins to describe what should be happening that was not happening. After describing what was happening that should not be happening. And although Paul wasn't present when the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, he still states that he received it of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He says, look, I got this personally from him. He said, I had been out in the wilderness with the Lord. He talks about it in Galatians, and he had spent much time with the Lord. And keep in mind that the New Testament had not been completed yet. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he could not reference. So the information that Paul is about to give, he got it from the Lord, because he didn't get it from Matthew, he didn't get it from Mark, he didn't get it from Luke, and he didn't get it from John, because they weren't completed. So what he's about to say pictures what's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it's pictured. And he lets them know, you know what, I receive this of the Lord myself. And so what I'm about to tell you, church at Corinth, is for your good. First of all, the picture of the supper concerning his body, verse 24. Paul says this, when he had given thanks, he brake it, exactly like we read over in Matthew, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Of this do in remembrance of me. So Paul let him know that Jesus, he blessed this bread, and he break this bread. And by the way, back in those days, they wouldn't take a knife and cut the bread. You know how they broke the bread? They tore off pieces. Similar to Christ's body, when they took the whip and they would whip him and they would draw his flesh off, and they would whip him again, they draw flesh, and they whip him again, they draw flesh, and they whip him again, they draw flesh. So he says, my body broken for you. And so as they pulled bread off, we recall that his beard was plucked out. Recall that they platted the thorns on his head. We recall that he was pierced in his feet. We recall that he was pierced in his hands. We recall that he was pierced in his side. He said, this, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. By the way, when he said for you, he meant the 12, but he also meant you, and he meant me. Why? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And everybody had sin. And so concerning his body, he took. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I like what it says in the beginning of verse 24, because I don't know if I could have been as gracious when he had given thanks. In other words, Jesus took the bread and began to thank God that he could do what he's about to do. I don't know if I could be as bold. I don't know if I could be as thankful that I'm about to take on the sin of the world. He who knew no sin was going to take on the sin of the world. I don't know if I could do that. Hey, we don't even like to give thanks for trials that we go through. And he hadn't even gone through the hard part yet. But he's giving thanks up front for the trial he's about to go through. He's giving thanks for his body that's going to be broken. He's giving thanks for the crown of thorns that would be platted on his head. He's giving thanks for the spear that would go in his side. He's giving thanks for the nails that would go in his hands. He's giving thanks for the nails that would go through his feet. He's giving thanks for the sin of the world. He's giving thanks that the sin of the world would be on him. And he's giving thanks that he would have to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I don't know if I could be as bold. I don't know if I could do that. But he said he gave thanks. He gave thanks. What a God we serve. He gave thanks. It says when he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Notice how they were to do it. He said, this do in remembrance of me. In other words, he said, when you partake of this bread, you remember how my body was broken for you. You remember how I was battered for you. You remember how I was whipped for you. You remember how I was pierced for you. You remember how I was stabbed for you. You remember how the crown of thorns was planted on my head. You remember that they mocked me. You remember me and what I'm doing for you. Hadn't even happened yet. But he said, I want you to remember this. The communion service is a most solemn service. Because as Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, he's saying, I want you to go back to your own sin. I want you to go back and recognize that I took your sin. I want you to remember that if I didn't take your sin, you would take your sin. I want you to think about the punishment and the horrors that I went through, you would have to have gone through. So remember me. Remember what I've done for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then he said, not just concerning his body, this do, but concerning his blood, this do. Notice verse number 25. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. In other words, he's saying, you know what? Every time you think about the price I'm about to pay in my body, my blood had to be spilled out for you. One man sinned, one man had to buy it all back. Adam sinned, and he's a man. And so another man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, had to die for our sins. But not just any man, the sinless man, the perfect sacrifice, because at the time of Passover, all the lambs had to be perfect. They had to be without blemish, they had to be without spot, they had to be pure, and nobody could be as pure as Jesus Christ. And somebody had to die for sin. And in order for the Father to be pleased, it had to be a sinless sacrifice. And it had to be sinless blood. There could be no sin flowing through the blood. The week of the crucifixion, Jesus was examined over and again by the religious crowd and by the common man and by the royalty. He was examined over and over again. And Pilate had to come to the conclusion, I find no fault in him at all. I find no fault in him. He was examined by everybody, and there was no fault that they could find in Jesus, our Savior. Why? He was sinless. It was his blood that was required for your sins and my sins. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. What was wrong with the Old Testament? The Old Testament was just a schoolmaster to bring us to the new. It was just the one to show us that we could not pay for our sins. It was just a schoolmaster to show us that, hey, you got a debt to pay. It could just show us sin. It couldn't remove sin. He was a schoolmaster to bring us to the point, brought us up to the point to show us our sin, to show us our condition, to show us, hey, I got problems, God, and I cannot continue to sacrifice lamb after lamb after lamb. Can you give me something better? Behold the Lamb of God. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said, I must decrease, he must increase. And so he said, this is the New Testament. This is what the covenant is based upon. It's blood that needs to be shed. It's blood that it needs to be required. It's sinless blood. You can't do it, but I can because I'm God. And guess what? He did. Because he is God. He never ceased being God on the cross. He never ceased being God in the womb. He never ceased being God in the grave. He never ceased being God when he arose. He never ceased being God today. He's still God. He's still God. He's still God. And so he says, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Then in verse 26, he says, for oft as you eat this bread, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So in other words, what he's saying is this is going to be a picture. This is going to be a live still show in your mind. As often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, you're showing my death till you come. Deaths normally aren't a happy place to be. Funerals normally aren't a happy place to be. But he said, "You, as often as you do this, you show my death. You show what I did for you. You show my body. You show my blood that was paid for you. You show what happened. And you show this. It's a picture show. Till I come." And he said, you do it till I come. Paul describes why all this should have been happening. And he says, for as often as you eat it and drink it, you do show my death. That's what I want you to do. It's a mental and a physical picture. So we see the portrayal of the supper by the Corinthians in verses 17 through 23. Paul's observations and their actions, and then Paul gives instruction, but also the picture of the supper in verses 23 through 26, what it actually represents. But then notice the practice of the supper, starting in verse 27. Paul says, as a result of what I have told you and my observations of your portrayal of this, and in reference to the picture of what it ought to stand for in his body and his blood, let me tell you what you ought to practice here as a church. He says, wherefore, whosoever, put your name in the blank. Mm-hmm. shall eat this bread. What bread is that? And by the way, Jesus ate bread all the time with the disciples. He broke bread for the 5,000. He broke bread for the 4,000. Amen. He broke bread with the disciples. He ate continuously. This bread was totally different from any other bread. He ate the Passover bread in this same setting. But guess what? This bread is different than Passover bread. So he ate a lot of bread in his lifetime, but he said, this bread is different because this bread represents my body. I didn't say that about any of the other bread. But this bread represents my body. This represents my blood. This is my testament that I'm giving to you. And so Paul says the members' practice ought to be different. And he describes what can happen if this is done incorrectly. And this is where I ask you, heed the warning. Wherefore, as a result of what I just said, whosoever or any man shall eat this bread at this particular time and drink this cup at this particular time, unworthily, in other words, irreverently, or without preparing for it, or doing it unprepared. He says, if you do this, you're going to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And by the way, he's already paid the penalty. And so we have no more sacrifice. And so if you're guilty of that, that's damnation. So you don't want to be guilty of this, because it is this body and this blood that was broken for our sins. And so he says, if you do it irreverently or unprepared, you're going to be guilty of that body and of that blood of the Lord. Verse 28. He says, but let a man examine himself. So in verse 27, he says it can bring danger if you do this without proper preparation and inspection. In verse 28 or verse 29, he says not only can it bring danger, it can bring damnation. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or irreverently eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You're not taking in consideration what you're literally doing. And so he says, when you approach this time, don't bring danger on yourself. Don't bring damnation on yourself. And that's what the Corinthian church was guilty of doing. And they were in danger of that. And he begins to talk to them about their foolishness. Hear me now. You don't want to toy with the Lord's Supper. There's a lot of people that do. A lot of people have no clue what this is all about. And a lot of bad things happen in their life, and they don't have a clue as to why these things are happening. And it could be, I'm not saying it is, but it could be because they partook of this time wrong. They weren't prepared. They didn't do the proper inspection. They were guilty of the divisions and the heresies that he spoke about in verses 18 and 19. They were having the schisms. They were partial. They were doing some things that weren't right. And Paul says, whoa. You can bring some danger on yourself. You can bring some damnation on yourself. And he said, you can even bring some death on yourself. Notice verse number 30. For this cause, for this reason, Paul says, many are weak. He says, some of you are just feeble. He says, and sickly. He says, some of you guys are just got no strength. You're sick. He says, and many sleep. And sleep means you got no life. That's a euphemism meaning you're dead. When a Christian dies, the Bible says that they go to sleep because we can awake again in the rapture. But Paul said there's a real danger in verse 27 and 28. And so there's a great deal of damnation that can happen in verse 29 if you're not careful. But also there's some death in verse 30. But he says in verse 31, for we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He said, have some inspection. Have some self-inspection. Check yourself out. And if you can find something that's wrong, better you judge it than I judge it. Better you judge it than God judge it. Because if God judges it, God's pretty thorough in what he does. And that's why he says some are weak, some are sickly, and some are even dead. They're sleeping. He says, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with the world. Amen. God's doing it for a favor. because he loves us. And he says, when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. He gets on us because he loves us. And we're not condemned with the world. We don't have to pay that price in hell. We don't have eternally be separated from God. We don't have that. But God will sure give us a good spanking.
Well, yes, Pastor, he will.
Amen.
Amen.
And God can do that.
Yes.
Why? His son was made a mockery of once. It ain't going to happen again. And when you come to the Lord's table with division and heresy and foolishness and the things that they were doing here, when you come to this time, you're making a mockery of it all over again. It only happened once and ain't happening no more. He died for sin once. He was bruised for sin once. He was battered for sin once. He was pierced in the side once. His feet and his hands once. The crown once. The next crown he gets is going to be the crown of glory. It's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So Paul is saying, hey, it happened once. It's not going to happen again. And church, if you do it, shame on you. You're in danger. There's some damnation awaiting. And there could be some death ahead. So he said, you better watch it. And church, that's one of the reasons why I'm going through this. I don't want us to flippantly and haphazardly come to this like this is some carnival or this is some free-for-all or this is some time to chow down and munch. No, this is a time to reflect.
Amen.
On what Jesus did for us and how his body was broken for you. This is not a fun time. I don't see one laugh, one jeer, one smile in the Lord's table in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. It was serious. Matter of fact, it was so serious, he said, one of you is going to betray me. And they all said, is it I? There was no laughing. There was not a festive time. By the way, the Passover in and of itself wasn't a festive time. And this is the same time. And so Paul is warning them, saying, look, watch out, church. Watch out. Notice what he says. Verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. He said, let me set the order here. He said, when you do come together and you do have this meal, he said, why don't you wait for each other? He said, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. He said, if you're not getting anything at the fellowship time, eat at home. Why? That you come not together unto condemnation. He said, because the way you guys are doing this right now, you're going to be condemned. He says, take care of the meals at home. Don't come here to get full when it's the Lord's table time. He said, the rest will I set in order when I come, let you know there was some more that was going on there. But that's the portrayal of the supper that they were doing in verses 17 through 23. But then the picture of the supper in verses 23 through 26. But then the practice of the supper, how it ought to happen in verses 27 through 31. And the thing that we have to come to grips with is that Jesus died for our sin. And although we're eternally grateful for that, and we're grateful that we don't have to pay that penalty, we still have to reconcile and be cognizant of the fact that Jesus paid a great price. And sin is not to be toyed with when it comes to this time. Because he paid too high of a price. He paid too high of a price. He was smitten for sin once. He was bruised once. And if we do it unprepared, without inspection, irreverently, then we're guilty of that body and that blood all over again. And God doesn't take that lightly. This is a very serious time. So knowing what the betrayal of the supper was that they did and the picture of what it ought to be and the members' practice, now it's time for us to do exactly what Paul said there in verse 28. The scripture states, let a man examine himself and so let him eat of that bread. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, let a man examine himself and when he finds sin, don't partake of communion. It doesn't say, well, let a man examine himself, and if he finds that he's got sin, let him stay at home. It doesn't say, let a man examine himself, and if he finds that communion time is coming up and he's not right with God, then he ought to say, well, I'm not ready yet. No, it doesn't say that at all. When they came to carry my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ away, you know what? He didn't say, no, I'm not ready for that right now. When they pierced him in his side, he didn't say, no, I'm not ready for that right now. When they put a crown of thorns on his head, he didn't say, no, I'm not ready for that now. When they nailed his hands and his feet, he didn't say, no, I'm not ready for that now. He was prepared for it. And what I'm saying, church, is that we have to examine ourselves and get prepared and not refrain, but get right with God and then partake. He said, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This is not the time to abstain. This is the time to confess. This is not the time to skirt around the issue, but it's time to confront the issue. I was reading in a book about communion, and it blessed my heart. And it said, you know what? It said, you don't really need a revival service. It said communion service ought to be revival service because everybody ought to deal with sin before they take communion. And that in and of itself brings revival. Amen. Hey, if I deal with sin and I deal with it reverently and I deal with it righteously, guess what? It's going to bring revival because I'm right with God and I'm right with man. There's a union in my heart. There's a unity in my heart. There's a camaraderie in my spirit. I understand what's going on. Amen. So it's not a time to sugarcoat and say, well, you know what? I've got some sin, but I'm going to deal with it later. No, you deal with it now, because if you don't, you're going to be irreverent. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. Amen. But I know this, if you partake while you're in it and not confessing it, you're going to be guilty exactly of what he said in verse number 29 and verse 30. Paul had to deal with them about this issue, and obviously they had to get that right. We have to deal with this issue as well and get it right. And once it's done, guess what? There ought to be a revival in our soul. There ought to be. Why? Because the division is gone. The heresy is gone. The unity is restored. The cohesiveness is there. Why? We've got one Lord, one body, one faith, one baptism. It's all one. It's one local church. Guess why? And it's all unified. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. And so I agree with the preacher who said, you know, communion time ought to be revival time after we get done.
That's good.
Because we look at the great price that was paid on the cross for our sin. And we recognize it was done for us. So as we begin to go into partaking of the elements, the bread, which is representation of Jesus's body, and the juice, which is representation of his blood, we're going to have a time of reflection to reflect on the things of God. Now, who is the Lord's table for? According to the Gospel of Matthew over there, it was the 12 that he had there. So it was his local church that he had there. So it's our local church. It's those that have been saved. They've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you partake of the Lord's table without being saved, you don't really know what we're talking about. You don't have a clue. It's about people that have been saved and then baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you really aren't in agreement with God, because he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you don't really know about being dead to self and being buried and seeing yourself risen with the Lord. And so it's for those that have been saved scripturally, and those that have been scripturally baptized, and those are a member of this local church in good standing with no unconfessed sin in their hearts. So I'm going to have a word of prayer here in just a few minutes. And I want us to do business with God. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Say, Lord, search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what David prayed in Psalm 139. He says, search me, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, if there's something there, pick it out. Friend, let me tell you, the last thing you want to do is partake of communion when you've got known sin in your life. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. What I'm saying, you're not trying to hide something, saying, well, God, I know this is here, but let's pretend like it's not here. God already knows it's there. God just says, take it out. Call it what it is. It's sin. Whatever sin it is. Whether it's heresy, whether it's division, whether it's disunity, whether it's lying, whether it's fornication, whatever it is, you take it out, you call it sin, you say, God, I'm willing to lay that down. I may not be perfect, but I know I've got this issue. I know I've got this problem, and I'm begging you to help me with this issue, with this problem. You confess that to God. Be willing to forsake it as well and turn from it. And I guarantee you, after you get done with communion, you'll have a renewed spirit. But if you're not willing to lay sin down, if you're not willing to confess sin, if you're not willing to say, God, I was wrong and you're right, then guess what? You're going to have more problems after you get done with communion than you had before you started. Amen. Say, preacher, you make this sound scary. I hope so. How would you read verse 30? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. How would you read verse 29? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I don't find much joking in that. I see much seriousness in that. My Savior died for sin. Mine's and yours and the whole world's. Our job now is just be honest with God and let him know what problems we have, what sin we have. By the way, if you got a problem with a brother or sister, this is the time to get it right now. There's a division in your heart. There's a schism in your heart. There's some heresy in your heart. There's a parting in your heart, and you're not as unified with a brother or sister as you ought to be. You need to go to that brother or sister and say, you know what? Things between us have not been right. I'm coming to get that right. And then go into communion. But to go into communion and not get it right, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give us a few moments of silence to get some things right. And I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't want anyone looking around. If you need to slip out from your chair to go do business with someone, and you slip out of your chair and go do business with someone and come right back to your chair. But there should not be one head lifted up unless somebody is moving. I have to go to someone. Everybody else's head should be bowed. And every eye should be closed. Father, Paul gave instructions here and said, as often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we do show your death till you come. And Lord, we're playing again the scene that was relived years ago. The scene that you went to the cross for our sins. And Lord, you said that whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, not being prepared, not having done proper inspection, is going to be guilty of the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, you gave us the opportunity to examine ourselves. Then you said, then we can eat of this bread and drink of this cup. Lord, because the warning is, if we eat and drink unworthily, not being prepared or improperly, without proper inspection, then we are eating and drinking damnation to ourselves. And we could become weak and sickly, and some could even sleep or die. Help us, Lord, to do an accurate judging of ourselves by utilizing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, if there's a problem between us and you because of a sin that we're holding, Lord, help us to confess it. If there's a problem between us and a brother, help us to identify it, confess it. If we need to go to that brother or sister, help us to do that. Well, Lord, help us to do business with you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us. Lord, use this time for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Give you several minutes to do business with God. Say, well, preacher, what things ought I to go to my brother or my sister about? If there's a problem that you know and that they know, and it's a problem that exists between you both, then you need to go. If there's just a problem in your own heart about something that they've done, then you don't need to go. But if you know and if they know that there's a problem between you two, you need to go to that brother or that sister and say, you know what? There's a problem between me and you. You know it and I know it. Let's settle it right now before we go into communion. But if that brother, that sister doesn't have any clue that you've got a problem with them, then you just got a problem with God. And you need to get that right. Whatever it is, you need to confess it to God and call it what it is. And ask God to remove that sin before you partake of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was represented here and the body that's represented here. come to this time in our services where we've examined ourselves as it's told about in the scriptures. Lord, we don't want to eat the bread and drink of the cup unworthily in an unprepared fashion, unprepared way. Lord, we want to have the preparation, the inspection. I pray that we've done that which you've told us to do. Lord, we've confessed that which you brought to our attention. We've gotten right with a brother or sister. Lord, we've dealt honestly and fairly with sin in our lives and our hearts. Lord, if that's the case, then we should be able to partake now of this time in the services. Where Paul said, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Lord, you never told us to examine another brother, another sister. He said, examine himself. Lord, I pray if there is a wicked way that was found there that we did confess it. Lord, I pray if there is something that was not pleasing in your sight that we have dealt with it. Lord, so that we can refrain from being weak, sickly, or sleep, or drinking damnation to ourselves, not discerning your body. Lord, you paid this price once, and I know you don't want it to be a mockery again. So help us here at Shining Light Baptist Church not to be concerned about any other church that partakes of it unworthily, but be concerned about how we partake of it so that we can get your blessings on this ministry, our blessings on our lives. Lord, come face to face with what you paid at the cross of Calvary. Thank you now for that price. Thank you for meeting with us. Now help us, Lord, as we partake of these elements in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have the Pastor White and the deacons to come forward and those men assisting. And we're going to be following down in Matthew's account of the Lord's table for those that want to follow along. One thing I do want to bring to your attention, that when we do come to this time, the children are in the charge of your parents. The child, first of all, needs to be saved, and then second of all, scripturally baptized. And you have to have the understanding that they know exactly what this time is representing, that they need to have their sins confessed up, and that they are in your charge. And so we're not going to refrain. We're not the communion police. We'll pass the elements. I would ask you, if you're not a member of this local church and if you're not saved, you're not baptized, I would ask that you refrain from taking of the communion. However, we are not the police, and so we're not going to tell you what you can or cannot do. We're just going to pass the elements down through each row, and those that feel that they are ready to partake of that, then you partake of that. And I pray that everyone that's a church member is ready, as we have examined ourselves and are ready for this.